Today is the Feast of the Annunciation of Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Lord spoke to Achaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, either unto the depth of hell or unto the height above. And Achaz said, I will not ask. And I will not tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye therefore, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to be grievous to men, that you are grievous to my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. He shall eat butter and honey, that he may know how to refuse the evil and to choose the good. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel of this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel had come to her, he said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she had heard him, she was troubled at his word, and kept pondering what manner of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. And he shall be king over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. But Mary said to the angel, How shall this happen, since I do not know man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore the Holy One to be born shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, also has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the feast which calls to mind the Incarnation, the Son of God becoming a man inside the womb of his Virgin Mother, is a somewhat new feast. It's only 1600 years old, which is new compared to many of the feasts in the church which date back to the time of Christ. So we believe that this feast began to be celebrated right around the time of the Council of Ephesus, either before or after. This was the council at which it was declared infallibly as a dogma of the church that the Virgin Mary was truly the Mother of God. Now we know, of course, that even though this was the beginning of this feast day being celebrated, that long before this, it was known that the Son of God was born on December 25th. He was conceived on March 25th. This is believed and well known by all of the early doctors and theologians of the church, all of the saints. So this was already a very important day. It was such an important day that it was also believed that on this day, many other events also had taken place. March 25th. And so it was believed by many that this was the day on which Christ died. Died for our sins and redeemed the whole human race. It was also believed that Adam had been created on this day, and that also this was the day that he fell into sin. And some believed that this was the day that Lucifer fell, that the same day that the Israelites passed through the Red Sea and that the waters had parted for them. And also, many believed that it was on this day, March 25th, that Abraham offered his son Isaac for sacrifice, and that the angel stopped his hand. So you can see that this is a very significant day in the history of mankind, the history of creation. All of these things aside, however, the most important thing on this day is that God became a man. This is the biggest day ever, ever, the day that God became a man. We know that it is not the day that he appeared to us on Christmas Day, which would take place 9 months later, the day that we could see God for the first time. And we know this was not the day that he redeemed us, which would take place approximately 30 years later. But it was on this day, certainly, that we have the promise of these future events. Solemn promise that he would redeem us. We can say that it was a great privilege, an unspeakable privilege, for all creation that our Creator entered into his own creation, that he came down on earth, became one of his creatures. It would not have even been believed to be possible that this could happen. It was a privilege, especially, of course, for his mother, that she was to be the Mother of God. But more importantly, it was the greatest day ever for the Blessed Trinity. It was on this day, keeping in mind, of course, that the Holy Trinity intrinsically is unchanged throughout all eternity. And it always will be unchangeable, unchanged. But extrinsically, externally, for the first time, God the Father was a Father in a new way today. And the Son, on this day, began to take on a human body. He took a human body, a human form, a physical human body, and he would have this body forever in heaven. And also for the Holy Ghost, because he became at this time. Of course, it is believed that this took place at midnight, as did, they say, creation. Christ's resurrection from the dead, and even his birth, we believe, took place at midnight. And many believe that the incarnation took place at midnight, as all of these other great things had happened at the same time. And so it was at this moment that the Holy Ghost became the spouse of the Virgin Mary. And he gave to the Father and the Son a new love between the two of them, which was now between God the Son as a man and his Father. And so we say that after the angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mother, our Virgin Mother, that she was to be the Mother of God, and at the moment that she received this news, and she paused, they say that all of the universe held its breath in anticipation, waiting for her answer, because if she had not consented, there would be no redemption, there would be no incarnation. All, everything rested on those words, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." And we believe that Saint Gabriel left her before she gave the consent. And at that moment, God entered into her physically, began to take on a human body. And for the first time in all eternity, our God, who was infinitely perfect, infinitely happy in himself, who had no need of any creation, this moment, for the first time ever, someone began to pray to him and to love him and to know him. And this person who offered this adoration to the Blessed Trinity was himself infinitely happy, infinitely knowing, so to speak, and loved the Blessed Trinity infinitely, the first time ever. God was honored as he deserved. It was so pivotal in all time, her consent to become God's mother. And so, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is now a man and God. We call him the man God. And so now mankind has a intercessor, a mediator, who is not only a man, but he is God. And so mankind is lifted up before the throne of God by this one act on the part of God of becoming a man. We can say God has come down to earth, become one of his creatures. His humility is staggering, that he would be finite in this man God, Jesus Christ. This mystery of the incarnation is beyond our comprehension, and it always will be for all eternity. And it will be the source of our beatitude in heaven. One of the primary sources of our beatitude, our eternal happiness, will come from this man God, Jesus Christ, in heaven. In addition to the happiness, infinite happiness that we are given from the Blessed Trinity, we are elevated, you and I, up to the level of God. So much so that we will not ever appreciate how much we have been made like him, especially his mother, of course. But even we are made sons of God. We have mentioned before that when someone is adopted into a family, a child, a baby is adopted into a family, it isn't significantly different from a biological parenthood. Because, as you know, parents who are biological parents do not create this life inside the womb of the mother. They contribute very little. The life comes from God. He creates the soul that goes into this body. And when they produce this son or daughter, this child, they do not give the child their own life. The child has his own life. So there's no great significant difference between a natural generation and an adopted son or daughter. God produces both, really and truly. No child shares the life of his parents. They have their own life. But with us, God gives us his own life. When we are baptized, we are a new creation. We are like God himself. This is the reason why we are called in sacred scripture gods. God calls us gods because we have his life. This is how high we have become by sanctifying grace. The mother of God, when she became his mother, was only 15, we believe, 15 years old. This is astonishing. And we know that everything in the world exists for this one moment. Everything led up to this event of the incarnation. All grace, all prayer, all love, all prophecy, everything from the beginning of time to the end of time and in eternity, everything points, exists for this single moment of the incarnation. Just to give you one example, immediately after the fall of Adam, when God asks him and Eve and Satan why they had done these things and condemns them, the first thing he says is that he will send a Savior, and he mentions the Virgin Mary, not by name. He mentions both the Redeemer and his mother. So you can see how everything was led up to this moment. It was an event which was arranged beautifully, planned for in the mind of God for all eternity. Every detail. Who could have not, of course, will the sin, but he can only permit the sin. But apart from sin, God plans every single detail, including, of course, his permissive will with the sins. And so he planned every detail. And so it is so perfect that Eve, our first mother, the first bad parent, who was the inspiration of all bad parents, their scandalous mother, who was only thinking, as of all bad parents, only thinking of herself. When she consented, when she began to speak to the devil, thinking of herself. Clearly, even though she had been given great holiness, God spoke with her and her husband, Adam. He walked with them. And despite this, she was still had fallen into sin. Because of her pride, because she was thinking of herself, and lastly, she was not praying. If she had been praying at the time that the devil came to her, she would not have spoken to him, except to dismiss him. She was not praying as our other mother was praying when the angel Gabriel came to her. But notice that our first mother, Eve, was spoken to by an angel. Bad angel, but nevertheless an angel. This was how we fell, through an angel speaking to our mother. And then God so arranged it, since Satan had tempted the first woman, God arranged it that he would be crushed, his head would be crushed by our next mother, the mother of God, the Virgin Mary. And so once again, an angel comes to her and speaks to her in prayer. And her response is silence because of her great humility. Perfect silence. She made no response. And the reason for this is because of her, not only her humility, but it was because of her fear. And the angel Gabriel referred to it. He said, "Do not be afraid." What was it that our mother feared? Keep this in mind. We say that the saints tell us that the number of angels that God created was quasi-infinite. We can't even number them. We also say something similar about the Son of God. We say his knowledge is not infinite, but it is quasi-infinite. We can say similar things about the Mother of God, because she was, apart from Christ himself, the Son of God, she would be God's greatest creation ever. And so she was loved by God more than all of the rest of creation put together. Even at the moment of her conception, when she was conceived in her mother's womb, she was holier than all the rest of the angels and saints put together. Loved by God more than all of creation. The gift of reason, of course. And so, we can say that she had quasi-infinite knowledge. God spoke to her. She was like God. If we are called gods, what would she be? She was like God. Her knowledge was quasi-infinite. And so, she had, because of her knowledge and her holiness, she had a sixth sense at that moment. This was God speaking to her through this angel. Many believe that she, even though it was not in any way related to her, directly to her holiness, that she had seen many angels. And she had seen, we believe, God. She had been given glimpses of the divine essence. So this is what she feared. exactly what happened. She feared, as did Saint Joseph. He feared God in his presence in the Virgin Mary. He was afraid to take the Virgin Mary as his spouse because of her holiness. And the Virgin Mary knew exactly, or she feared, what was going to be asked of her, that she would be the mother of God. This is what she feared. And so she consented. And it is on this day that we come to her, our mother in heaven, and we pray to her with all of our hearts to make us worthy of the Holy Eucharist, to make us saints. And she can do exactly that in an instant, just like that, as she has done so many times, as our advocate. We told you once the story of the robber who was told by a priest that even if he did not change his ways, if he would pray to the Mother of God and be devoted to her, that he would be saved. And so he asked what he could do. And the priest said, fast in honor of the Virgin Mary on Saturdays, and she will save you. And you remember that is exactly what happened. Even though he was a robber, she, even at the last minute, saved him and gave him great love. And there are others, innumerable examples of this. So many of them were through the instrumental prayers and words of Saint Dominic, to whom she gave the Holy Rosary. There's also another example which we will tell you about a man who, for a good portion of his life, made bad confessions. And finally, he came clean, told the priest what he had done during his life. And the priest said to him, what devotion did you have to the Virgin Mary that brought you to this point? Because the priest knew. And he said, I always fasted on Saturdays in her honor. So you see, brethren, that if these great sinners have been saved by the Virgin Mary, what can she do for us sinners? She can raise us up to the throne of God, even while we are here on earth, through mystic prayer. She can do this for you and me, especially on this day, which is the greatest day ever, even for God. Do not neglect to ask her for these graces for us and for our friends and family. May God bless you.